Accession number 14021, reel 2.
I think that the Hipper then realised she was up against a big convoy with escorts and so forth, and she turned away and headed off into the mist. We were detailed off to follow her, and we were firing at each other, but half the time couldn't see each other. And eventually she outstripped us or got away from us, and I believe the orders were that we were not to really engage her but to shadow while the big ships, the 15-inch battleships, were coming out of Gibraltar and heading that way. But she got away, and we then returned to rejoin the convoy again that had been scattered, but the orders had come through to rejoin, you know, regroup. And on Boxing Day we spotted a merchant ship on the horizon, went to investigate, and it was a German merchant ship. The Baden was the name of it, B-A-D-E-N. They abandoned ship, and we attempted to sink her with gunfire. By the way, we rescued all the crew. One of the crew members getting to the top of the ladder onto the quarter deck gave the Nazi salute, and a Marine that was there promptly pushed him back in again. So, but he came back on the ship. We tried to sink her by gunfire, but our shells were going through one side and out the other. So eventually the torpedoman wanted to have a go with the torpedoes, and we were very close to the ship at this time, and it was quite a nice day. And you remember we were carrying army personnel, so by now they were all, a lot of them anyway, were up on the upper deck watching what was going on, because there's no return gunfire, it was only one way, and waiting for this torpedo. Anyway, they fired the first torpedo, and it broke to the surface of the water and gently went round the stern of the Baden, missing it. So there was an almighty cheer went up from the gunnery men, which I was, and the army personnel thoroughly enjoyed it. Well, the second torpedo done the job, and that was the sports over, and we set off to catch up with the convoy. Eventually we went into Gibraltar. Now we were supposed to go back to the UK, this is what we were told, as we happened to be on leave at the time, we were going to get to leave. But Admiral Somerville in Gibraltar had other ideas, I think. The Bonaventure was one of the first RM vessels to be fitted with RDF for aircraft, and at that time we could get aircraft at about 70 mile range. We could pick them up, which was a big thing in them days. This is early 1940, or late 1940, sorry, but it was early when we got it. So we were very useful. and we sent out on little jobs, and then we were had to go on a big convoy to get through to Malta from the western end of the Med, which was hair-raising, to say the least. In the Sicilian Channel, our worst time came when we were attacked by high-level Italian bombers. Stukas 87s, the old Stuka dive bombers. And as we were passing Pantelleria, we sighted two destroyers, Italian destroyers, which we engaged. The Vega was one, I believe. Anyway, we hit this one, set it on fire, and she sunk with quite a few casualties. The other one, she had hits on her as well, but she got away on the smoke screen. But she had quite a lot of casualties, so we understand now, like. HMS Gallant was near us, and she hit a mine and blew her bows off, and one of the other destroyers took her in tow. At the same time, the Illustrious was getting very heavily bombed, and we had to go with the Illustrious as an escort, as the main body of the Western Fleet was going back to Gibraltar, and we were to proceed to Malta with the Illustrious and what merchant ships we had and escorts. We arrived in Malta, and we were alongside and the Illustrious. Of course, that was an attraction straight away for Junkers dive bombers to come in and give us time. We eventually sailed from there with the Illustrious. The Illustrious, I think, went on to America for repairs. We went into Alexander, and we were taken over by Admiral Cunningham. We were hijacked by him, I think. He decided he wanted us. So there we were, doing convoy work, backing up any forces that went out. They always wanted us with them because of our RDF. We done raids on Greek islands, landed commandos on them, or covered the landing of them, and doing Malta convoys as well. We were in Malta, and we got a terrific bombing again there. I believe we had about 150 near misses. We were like a pepper pot when we came out. We had our second fatal casualty there. The first one was when we were in action with the destroyers. The guns crew, one of the guns crew, and the others were injured. That's the 4-inch gun we had on board. And we had a stoker Campbell. He was killed on the jetty in Malta alongside the ship. So we had to go back to Alex to get repaired with all these holes we had. And Matapan developed then. We were hastily moved out of Alex to head for the battlefield, and we were too late for the main battle. there were air attacks then taking place, but we'd missed the main battle. We were then sent to escort a very important couple of ships with three destroyers, four destroyers, I think, not sure of that. The Breconshire was one of the ships. And during the night, while we were escorting this vessel, or early hours of the morning rather, there were two explosions, and it turned out to be two torpedoes. One hit us in the boiler room, one in the engine room, and she keeled over, and 5 minutes she was gone.
Where was this?
This was off Crete.
And the date?
That was the 31st of March. The morning of the 31st of March. We were eventually picked up by a destroyer, Hereward. There was obviously a submarine in the vicinity, and there were depth charging going on. The destroyers were depth charging, trying to get this submarine. And this was a terrible experience in the water, going with depth charges going off all around you. Quite a few, I understand, were killed by internal hemorrhage with the explosion. I know there was some in the hospital, 64th General Hospital in Alexander, in the same ward as myself. I didn't have much wrong with me, just a bang on the head. But there was people there with broken backs, hitting the keel as they went down over the side of the ship. There was a sergeant of marines in the next bed to me who had lost his ear. He was in between decks, the mess decks, trying to get out, and somebody grabbed him and grabbed hold of his ear and didn't let go, and his ear came away as they were struggling to get out the mess decks. But as I say, I was in the DCT, and we got out of the DCT, and by the time we got down onto the main deck, the ship had heeled right over. We just walked down the ship's side into the water. And as I say, the Hereward then picked us up.
How long were you in the sea for?
I'd say about half an hour. We were taken into Alexander, and I went to the hospital for a while.
Could you swim?
Yes. I was always a good swimmer as a kid.
Did you have something to cling to?
No, I'd got my inflatable life raft, life belt with me. That was an issue, you know. Everyone should have been wearing one, like. Well, after that, I had to get another ship.
Before we leave the Bonaventure, there's one thing which we've missed out that we haven't put on tape, and that was the search for the Jervis Bay survivors. Can you repeat what you were telling me earlier about that, please?
Oh, yes. We were sent out initially with a repulse, I think, and other ships to look for the Von Scheer, who'd been around, who sunk a number of merchant ships, including the Jervis Bay. We were, after searching for a while with the fleet, we were told off to go and look for survivors of the Jervis Bay. It was very foul weather. The Jervis Bay had been sunk, I think, 24 hours before that. anyway, we had to search. So we searched for survivors for another 24 hours or so, and then returned to Scapa Flow, not having found any survivors. Getting back into Scapa Flow, we just got our paravanes in. We suddenly got a message to say we had to go out again. We hadn't stayed out long enough looking for survivors. So we had to get the paravanes out again. And off we set. Again, as I say, the weather was absolutely foul. But nevertheless, we went to the area and we searched another 3 days. The thing was, there was a signal saying that, from Admiralty, saying that they didn't think the Bonaventure had searched long enough for survivors. At the time, the government and the Admiralty were having a hard time because of the Royal Pindi that had been sunk, and the public were a bit up in arms on this. So we took the can back and, as I say, had to stay out there for 3 days, or to the limit of our endurance virtually, because we hadn't refueled and stuff. We went back, and by this time the Jarvis Bay had been sunk about 10 days. Went back to Scapa Flow. Our captain wasn't best pleased, and sent a signal to Admiralty to say if they thought that he hadn't done his duty, would they court-martial him? But nothing was heard of about that after that.
Sorry, I interrupted you with you saying you were searching now for a third ship. Can you tell me how you got your next ship? After the Bonaventure?
Yes, I was put into a transit camp, HMS Sphinx, which is just out, well, a fair way outside of Alexandria's transit camp. And from there, you get drafted to various ships. You didn't go home on survivor's leave, that finished. You just made up the numbers on different ships where people may have been killed or were going home or what have you. So I was sent for in the drafting office, and they said, we got a ship for you, destroyer, HMS Lively. And I've got to go back about 2 weeks previous to this, saying I had HMS Lively. I'd been in the canteen in Alexander, and of all people, I bumped into my brother. I didn't know he was out there, but he was in the canteen having a drink, the same as I went in to do. And he was on HMS Lively. So, going back now, they told me HMS Lively. So I said, no thank you. Which you could do in them days, if you had a brother or relative on, if you didn't want to go on the same ship, it was in order. So a couple of days later they sent for me again and said, we're sending you to HMS Kelvin. I said, oh, that's fair enough, right? So the Kelvin I went, but we were in, when I joined her, she was in dry dock. Being as my brother's ship was there, I called over to see him. They were EMD, that's emergency destroyer, so he couldn't come ashore, so we had a yarn and so forth. She sailed out that night with the Jarvis, Kipling and Jackal to do a Tobruk run. Well, somebody was waiting for them as soon as they got out there, because three out of the four ships got sunk. The Lively was first, I think he got onto the Jackal. She went, and the Kipling went, and the Jarvis picked up the rest of the survivors. So this news was filtering through, of course, to Kelvin, like, you know, and the first lieutenant said to me that they were coming in. He was keeping me informed, or you know, and he gave me permission to go over to the Resource, which was a depot ship which was going to receive the survivors. And fortunately, my brother was all right. He came back. But the point of that was that if I'd gone to the Lively as well, who knows? Now, with the Kelvin, well, it's hard going in the Mediterranean all this time, you know, from 40 to 43. we had no aircraft. As far as we were concerned, all aircraft were enemy. And as soon as you poked your nose out of harbour, you were in trouble trying to make Malta with aircraft, submarines. It was always action stations virtually all the time. We done bombardments up the North African coast to help the army on its way up there when they made advances, which they did under Wavell before Montgomery, and came back again, as you know. Done various raids on the Greek islands again, bombarded Rhodes and a few other places, well known holidays resorts now. Working from Crete a lot, actually, from Suda Bay and Alexander. I was in, I had done 2 years and 8 months in the Mediterranean, and I had a draft sent to the ship to say that I was returned to Sphinx to get a troop ship to take me home. But unfortunately, I couldn't get off the Kelvin for about another month after this draft had arrived for me to get away. Because of these Malta convoys, I just couldn't get away. At least they wouldn't let me go leave the ship. But eventually I did, in Alexander. Went up to Sphinx, and they said, well, where have you been? I said, well, I've been on the Kelvin. Well, your troop ship is gone. So it was another 3 months hanging about. I had a couple of draft ships, but not to ships, to Merchant Navy, or T-14X it was, base, which is Merchant Navy wearing naval uniform. Transit base they had very near to Sphinx. Sent there as Corporal of the Guard, as I was leading seaman by this time. I had a job escorting the cashier from Alexander to Portshead by road. Another one they sent me on was a recovery of a ship called the Malines. I think it was an ex, whether it's like the British Rail used to have these big tenders for the big liners, and they would caught in the war. This was doing trooping duties, and she was sunk just outside of Portshead. But they recovered this, and I went aboard as towing party to sort things out. That was another couple of weeks. Anyway, 3 months passed, and eventually I was sent to the Mauritania for homeward bounders. So that was the end of my time in the Mediterranean during the war.
But coming back to the Kelvin, I think a lot of the work you were doing was trying to intercept Rommel's convoys to North Africa.
Yes, indeed. That was, that's right. We used to go out from Malta by night, mostly, you know, just before dark, intercept the convoys, and then run back into Malta, you know, for protection, till we went out again. A couple of destroyers at a time, it used to be normally. There's only about four destroyers in there.
How much success did Kelvin have against those convoys?
Oh, we had very good success. We always got a couple of ships. Must say that the Fleet Air Armament torpedo bombers often spotted the convoys first and slowed them down. One night, with the Nubian, HMS Nubian, we went out, and with 2.5 hours of solid gunfire, and we reckon there was about 14 ships who got, including a couple of escorts. That was well, the gun barrels were red hot, virtually. That was our biggest hole on this.
Now, I think your fourth ship was HMS Whittaker.
Yeah.
What kind of a ship was that?
HMS Whittaker was a diesel escort destroyer, they were called. They were, I think they were the Kaiser-built ships, built in sections, brought to the seaside, welded together, and given a ship, which was under lease land. But these ships were primary for escort duties, and this is mainly what we carried out. We took a couple of trips into the North Atlantic, convoying from Milford Haven up to round about the Isle of Wight, and then taking over another convoy, coming back, monotonous job, 6 weeks at a time, going into harbour for a day and a half, maybe 2 days at the most, to refuel and stores, and out again, the same old convoy jobs. A few submarine scares, but we didn't catch one ourselves. And then D-Day come along, and we sailed in to, from Milford. We'd left with the convoy of ships, and they were all for D-Day, and we sailed into which was the Lee Harve area, I think, mainly. And oh, it was absolutely fantastic, and the aircraft that in the sky was black with them. There were ships everywhere, big ships firing big guns, smaller ships closer to the coast all firing away. It was, well, it's unbelievable, really.
What job was Whittaker supposed to be doing on D-Day?
She was escorting this convoy in, and then we fired a few rounds inshore, but we didn't do a lot of bombardment. We just escorting ships. There were ships going down all around you, you know. You expected maybe you're next. There was a American DED, I don't know her name,